Again, we're going to look in Genesis this morning, chapter 1, and beginning verse 1. We don't talk a lot about the Spirit. Last week we learned that it's the Spirit that gives us life. And we get no life apart from the Spirit. We are dead and born dead in our trespasses of sin, which means we're separated from God, which means we have a nature that is contrary to him, a nature that he can no longer abide with. He used to walk in the garden hand in hand with man. And when man disobeyed him, then there became a great gulf between us and God. God began then have to use angels to be able to talk to men. And then when that stopped, he used prophets. And then finally, when we would not listen, we would not listen to the angels, we wouldn't listen to the prophet, we didn't listen to God. God said, surely I will send my son. It's a warning from above. And maybe man would listen to my only begotten son, and unfortunately, there are few that will listen to him. But it is the Spirit of God by which God works in our lives. I know that a lot of, and I don't want to offend anybody this morning, but the Holy Spirit was given a particular task. When Jesus went to be with the Father, he said, I'm going to send a helper. So the first point of this is that he's to help us. The first and most difficult thing in a man's life, in a person's life, is to admit that they need help. Spiritually, we all have to have help. And therefore, a helper was sent to work upon our lives to convict us through the Word of God of the sin that we are and the nature that we have, that we're apart from God. That's his purpose. I know a lot of people think that this Holy Spirit came to so that we could speak in tongues. This heavenly language that the early church was gifted. And we have to understand why they were gifted with those early tongues. It was to set them apart and show them that the power of God was putting this body of Christ together, this body of believers together. And the scripture also says that at some point that would be done away with. I know that there are some people that hang on to that, and I know there are some churches that will speak in tongues, and who am I to say whether they speak in tongues or not? That is up to God, but God said that they would cease, and he was very particular in telling us if the Spirit comes upon a man and they do speak in tongues, then there has to be an interpreter there. That if somebody came into the church and they heard you speaking in tongues, they would think you're a madman, and it was for no edification of the church. So, again, understand that gift was given, was ceased. The miracles. God had given through the Spirit them to be able to heal people, raise people from the dead. Again, a gift that was given to the early church to set that apart so that the world would know that God was upon them. That was the whole purpose of the Spirit that was given to them, so that the world would know that the Spirit of God is in this, and I don't want to call it a movement, but this revelation that God was giving to man. And so they were able to do these things. Again, the Spirit nowadays is gone. We do not have that gift of healing. I cannot raise your loved ones from the dead. I cannot make the blind see. I cannot make the lame walk. I cannot do any of those things. God does heal in his own way, in the way he made the body. It does heal, and God grants healing, but not in the way that the early church did it, in the way that some churches hang on to, that they think they can lay a hand on somebody and they're going to get healed. The Spirit of God does not do that anymore in our day and time. I can no longer take up a strong drink. I cannot drink a gallon of Clorox and live. I cannot pick up a bunch of rattlesnakes and copperheads and let them bite me and live. That was a gift that was given through the Holy Spirit to the early church. So now we need to focus on what the purpose of that Holy Spirit is in our day and life, because it is the Spirit that gives us life. And then what is we supposed to do with that life? That is what we have lost focus of, and we no longer, it's not for us to speak in tongues, it's not for us to heal people, it's to give us a new life so that we can present ourselves as holy living sacrifices to a holy God, is the purpose of that Holy Spirit, is to create in me a new creature, which then allows God to be pleased with the work that he's done in me, and we have lost sight of what the Holy Spirit is for and what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit was in the beginning. It says in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." So at the beginning of time, the Spirit of God was at work for us. God doesn't do anything apart from his Spirit. Jesus Christ, did you know he had the Spirit of God in him, which allowed him to live that sinless life, which gave him the nature of the Father? He was born by the Father. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit so that there would be a God-man. He was in the flesh. It says the Word was in the beginning. There it was. The Word was in beginning with God. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's that warning from heaven that God had sent down so that hopefully the world would listen, so that God could redeem mankind from the wrath that is to come. And so we need to understand that the Spirit of God was in the beginning, and the Spirit of God has all through, when you begin to go to Genesis, Exodus, and Deuteronomy, and Numbers, you see so many times where the Spirit of God worked upon man. And the unique thing about the Spirit of God is that he moved from working upon men to now God said he will work in men. That he will come to reside. We will be the temple of God. Did you not know that your body is the temple of God? Did you not know? And then when the Spirit takes residence in a man, there's order. There's order. I'm not doing this silly stuff. I'm not flopping around up on the stage. I'm not feigning. I'm not running around I'm not doing all those. It brings a calmness and a peace in our lives, a stability in our life in the midst of all the world's confusion and chaos. It gives me that peace and it gives me a stability. It doesn't allow me to flop around where people look around and say, that person, something wrong with him. God's not doing that. God is perfecting us in a very formal, fashionable, controlled way. The Spirit always has control. The Spirit is never depicted in the Scriptures as bringing someone out of control. Matter of fact, most of the time when these people are demon-possessed and they're out of control, here comes the Spirit in the power of God upon their lives, and the Spirit leaves them, and what do? They become calm. So where there's chaos, the Spirit is not there. Where there's confusion, the Spirit of God is not there. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14. God had given Ezekiel a vision. It says that the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord to set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. So first of all, he was directed by the Spirit of God. God only directs people by his Spirit. And it's through that Spirit that God directs you. And God will only direct you by what has already been written in Scripture. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing we can add. And there's nothing we should take away from God's holy word. But man is adding to it. Man is changing it, and man is changing the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Man is changing the purpose of why God created us. We were spiritual beings. We lost that due to a disobedience to God, and we became spiritually dead. And God now has sent the Holy Spirit to again reside in us so that we're quickened to life, so again that we have life, and we're going to back this up. He caused me to pass among them about, behold, and there were many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. You know, those old dry bones, I think there's a song about it. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, only you know. So here's a bunch of dead bones. People have been dead for a while. The bones are all dried up. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause a breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews, which are ligaments. They hold the muscles together to the bones, and they hold the bones together to the bones. That's what a sinew is. On you, and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. God is the only one that gives life. We think that being born in the flesh is life. It's not life at all. Not life as God intended it to be for us. We are supposed to be spiritual beings, and we're not. We're born dead. We're born in iniquity. And therefore, sin reigns over us. Sin is master over us. And so we're like these old dead up dried bones. How can we come back to life? Can these dead bodies, can we as humanity come back to life? Only God knows. And God will send his breath upon us and allow us to come back to life through the new birth experience. We have to be born again. We have to have this new birth experience, or we will not see God in eternity, okay? He will be our judge, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. We will experience the second death. We'll be thrown into that lake of fire if that spirit does not reside in us. And he is the only one that can give us life. Just as he brought these bones back to life, it's all about God and what God is doing in your life, not about what you're doing for God. Well, I'll read my Bible more for God. I will go to church more for God. I will go and do more good things for God. And I will do all these things for God, but yet God says, I need to do something for you. I don't need you to do anything for me. In the flesh, you can't please me. I don't need you. You need me. I created something from nothing. My spirit goes about and it can do whatever I tell it to do. And I can give wisdom to whom I want to give wisdom to, and I'll give knowledge to whom I give knowledge to. I'll bless who I bless, and I'll curse who I curse. I'll harden who I harden. I'm God. And because I'm God, I'll put my spirit upon those whom I please. And Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And God tells us very plainly in Romans that no man is without an excuse. So the Spirit's purpose is to convict the world of their deadness. See, we're not born knowing that we're dead. There's no one telling us that we need to become alive. We think the breath that we have and the abilities that we have in the flesh can somehow please God. And the scriptures are very plain on that, that you can't please him in the flesh, that it's impossible to do so. It also says that the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. Can't even if he wants to, because spiritual things are spiritually appraised. Man cannot worship God. It says God is spirit. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. And so if you are born spiritually dead and you have not been quickened to life by the Spirit of God through the convicting of the power of God in your body to let you know that you're dead, You see, we can take this and we can run with this in the flesh. Okay, I'll admit I'm a sinner. But if it doesn't cause a godly sorrow that leads to repentance in my life, then that belief that I have in Jesus Christ is in vain. I've believed in a different Jesus. I've believed in a different God, because this scripture tells us that he's going to breathe life and bring us back to life. It's amazing what happens next. Then he said to me, prophesy, and this is verse 9, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come forth from four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain so that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So again, it didn't happen until God told him. God was simply telling him what to do, and he simply did what God told him to do. I don't know why we have to add to or take away or change versus simply doing what God tells us to do. Why do we have to sensationalize the power of God? Why do we have to sensationalize the truth of God so that people are interested? If our churches don't provide some kind of a program for the kids, if they don't provide some type of fellowship, if they don't provide some type of entertainment, if the Holy Spirit doesn't excite you about being here, you don't have the Spirit of God. Every time the Word of God is spoken, it shouldn't be the man that's speaking, but it should be the Word of God that excites you. And if you have to have the songs that only you like to sing, or if you have to be told jokes, or you have to be told stories, and simply the Word of God does not excite you, then you might have a different spirit than the true spirit of the Holy God. But I tell you what, it's the Word of God that excites a child of God. Then he said to me, son of man, this is verse 11. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. And this is what he's telling man. Folks, we have no hope. We are born without hope. We are born with the condemnation of God upon us. And because of that condemnation, that wrath of God, we have no hope. In Israel, they were outcast. They were disobedient. It was their sins that put them in this situation. It wasn't God that put them in this situation. It was their sin and their disobedience. Where our sin is a disobedience to God. It goes against his holiness and puts us in this place of the dead dried up bones. We have no hope. Israel had no hope. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I am opened your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. My people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. When you are born again and that wind, that still, quiet wind blows in your life through the discipleship that God put you through in teaching you about who he is, he opens that grave. And then and only then you'll know that he is God. See, you don't know he's God yet. When you're in discipleship, you're believing and you're trusting. Just like the Bible says, we must believe and trust that God is who he says he is. But it's through this discipleship program, this discipleship that he puts us through, that we realize that we're these dead bones and that we have no hope. And then when he quickens us to life, by instilling the Holy Spirit and sealing us with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make me jump up. It doesn't make me jump over. It doesn't make me fall and flop around. It doesn't make me speak in tongues. Okay? It seals me to holy God through His power and His work. And now I know He is God. You see, we got a lot of people going to church, but we got very few people being the church. The Holy Spirit is how you get into the church. When you're born again and you become sealed by the Holy Spirit, it's not that I speak in tongues and heal people and slain in the Spirit and fall backwards. And like, I never saw anywhere in the Scriptures where the Holy Spirit created a spectacle. Man has created this Holy Spirit and has made Him a spectacle. And wow, look what He's done. No, when He changes a life, that's what's amazing. That's the miracle. When He takes somebody from being dead in the Spirit and makes them alive in the Spirit, that's the miracle of God through the power and the work. Now, Jesus Christ is by whom He has done that. Understand what Jesus' purpose was, and that was to live that sinless life through the power of God. He didn't do it on His own power. He was ministered to by angels so that He could be that unblemished Lamb of God, so He could go to a cross to save the nation of Israel. Period. Jesus did not come to save the Gentiles. He came to save the nation of Israel. And yet the Gentile nation still continues to claim the promises of God for the nation of Israel. It was God who grafted you in. It was God in His great mercy that grafted us Gentiles in. And again, I don't hear anybody teaching that, but it's explicitly what the Bible teaches, that through the Spirit of God, through His power, He grafts us in through the work that Christ did upon the cross. Then you will know that I am Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my Spirit within you. What's He going to do? He is now at some point going to put the Spirit within them. Not upon them, but within them. And you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord and have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Why did God save you? So you would know that He is Lord. He saved you for His own purpose. Matter of fact, it even says in Scripture that He didn't save and He didn't deliver Israel out of the land of Egypt in the bond of slavery for them. He did it so the world would know that He is God. He did it so they would know that He was God. I don't know how we've got this all mixed up somewhere in religion, that God saved us because He has this fuzzy feeling about us. God said, I regret I ever made man. Jesus said, I don't trust man because I know what's in them. And yet we continue to blot these truths out in our lives and create a God and a Jesus that doesn't exist. And so many people are following that God and following that Jesus, and they're going to stand before Him, and He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, because we don't have preachers and we don't have men of God standing up, using the Word of God and telling people truth out of love. God tells us the truth because He loves us. He doesn't come along and say, oh, well, you almost did it. I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate your intentions. God is not pleased with our intentions. He clearly said we can't please Him in the flesh, but yet we have all these intentions to try to please Him. We think somehow we have to bring something to this table, and we bring nothing to it. He does all of this so that he exalts himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we know that he is God. And therefore, if you have a relationship with him, and if you are a true child of God, then worship will be the first and foremost of what you look forward to and do. We only worship God when it's convenient for us. Let's be honest, folks. That's where we're at in this world. We've created a God that, he says, that's okay. That's not what the scripture says. There are so many examples of people not showing that God is holy, that God either annihilated them or punished them or put plagues on them. This is about us coming to the realization that he is God, not that Jesus Christ did all these wonderful things for us. It's not about Jesus Christ doing all these wonderful things for us. I'm not taking anything away from Christ. I'm telling you that if you read Scripture as it is written, it all points to the glory of God. Jesus Christ, when they asked him, how do we pray? He didn't say, pray to Jesus. Matter of fact, I find nowhere in here where there's any instructions on praying to Jesus. Do you all? Have I missed this somehow? Where? Show me in Scripture anywhere. There's not. We're to pray to God through Jesus. God has opened. Jesus Christ is the veil. His flesh is the veil that leads us to the Holy of Holies. And what Christ, in that work he did on the cross, and God grafting us in, has opened up the veil so that we go through Christ straight to the Father. And the Father grants the Spirit of Christ, and he grants the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. It's all the same Spirit. Galatians 6:7-8. It says, do not be deceived. This is written to the church. And he says, don't be deceived, which means what? It means you can be deceived. The moment you don't think that you can be deceived, the moment that you don't think that Satan has power over you in the flesh, you have been deceived. And just because you become a child of God, or because you're a disciple of Christ, you're not yet that child yet, you can be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. It's amazing how many people will treat people and not treat them as higher than themselves. That's what the Bible says. We're to do, and Scripture says that we're to treat others with more respect and more highly regarded than ourselves. And they don't do that, but yet when they're treated harshly, they want to judge these people. But yet they themselves don't care how they treat people. And so what you're sowing is the seeds that you sow in your lives is what's going to grow. And there are seeds of righteousness, and there are seeds of sin. And how you spend your time and decisions you make. You know, God allows us to make decisions. God had nothing to do with me stopping by Wendy's and getting a sausage egg biscuit without cheese. It's actually only $1 this morning. Did you know that? They had a sale. I couldn't believe it. I went up and said, you sure this is right? Because I get it every Sunday and it's $4 or something. She said, no. So did God bless me and give me a biscuit for $1? No, I chose to go buy it. Folks, come on. God allows you and gave you a mind, and allows you to make choices. He just gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us in making those choices. He didn't make choices for us. Now, there are some people that God has deemed as instruments that he gave no choices to. But for the majority of us, God allows us to set our alarm clocks every morning, whether we get up and say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and set our alarms so that we can get up and seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what that means, right? Or have I missed this one too? I'm not very smart. I need you guys to help me sometimes because I'm not real smart. But I think when it says seek ye first, that means that's the first thing you do, right? Is that what first means? I got first place, but I got a smaller trophy? No, you get first place, you get the big trophy, right? That means you came in first. That means there's no other thing beside you. You did the best. So if we're to seek God first, seek ye first his kingdom, then doesn't that mean that he gives us a choice to set up our alarm clocks when it's about worship and to praise him? Doesn't he give us a choice how we come in here? Whoa. You mean he's not doing it all for us? No, he did all he's going to do for you. He sent his son. He grafted us in. And now he's allowing you to have choices, and he's allowing you to walk in the Spirit. If you're a child of God, if you're a disciple, he's allowing the Spirit to work upon your life to bring you to salvation. See, we never talk about the Spirit working upon us, do we? Well, we jump right from a prayer to salvation, don't we? Say a prayer, boom, you're saved. Welcome to the kingdom of God. That is not how this happens. You cannot read Scripture and come up with that. Do you know there's no confusion in Scripture? People will say, well, it's confusing. No, you're natural, and that's why you can't, because God has not revealed it to you. And if God doesn't reveal it to you, then it is going to be confusing. You're going to look at it and say, well, it contradicts itself. I promise you, this Scripture does not contradict itself. When you understand spiritual truths, it makes all the sense in the world. And if it doesn't make sense, so what? You're still obedient to it. That's just how God made it. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit, reaps eternal life. The Holy Spirit came not so I could speak in tongues, not so I could heal you, not so that I could do some miraculous thing. He came so that I might have eternal life, that I might be sealed by the power of God. And once I'm born again, then the Spirit of God lives within me, and then he either kills me or he corrects me if I choose to remain disobedient. If you can remain disobedient to the Word of God and still live in sin, in the abominations, because the love of God, he accepts us where we're at. He already knows what we are. But his great love is that he doesn't leave us there. And if you can live your life with that, we didn't get to the passage of Scripture that talks about suffering with Christ. We'll talk about it a little bit more next week if God allows it. But Christ suffered while he was here. Now, he didn't suffer with sin. He suffered because he was going to be made sin. He dealt with that every day of his life when he reached that point where God allowed him to understand who he was, 12 years of age, when he went and began to not only listen but share truths with them, that God was allowing him to know that, how can a 12-year-old boy know this stuff? How can a 12-year-old boy? Because he was God's son, and he had a purpose. And that's why he told his mom and his dad, "Didn't you know I need to be about my father's purpose, not yours?" Huh? Had to teach them something too, didn't he? You're just my mom and dad here taking care of me, feeding me, going to work, clothing me, and that kind of stuff. But it's my father. It's his purpose. And that's a whole other sermon. Be careful what you sow. And if you're sowing to religion, then you will reap religion. and you will reap, and you will, what will bloom up is eternal damnation, and the second death, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's what religion gives you, is death.